Okay, this is Michael O'Rourke with the Oregon or Washington County Historical Society. Today is July 30th, 1996, and this is a continuation of the interview with Harlan Flint. I noticed here in my notes a couple things while we took this break that I might want to ask you a little bit about. One was that I have here a note that you remember the ferry at Starks, is that right?
Remember of the what?
The ferry. Was there a boat that ran up the river in the early days?
I cannot remember that, no.
Oh, okay.
And I can't remember the ferry that was here, but I remember Dad talking about the ferry that was here. There was one here at Shoals, and there was one down at Starks there somewhere.
I see.
But okay. You can still see in the bank where the ferry, where the cutouts where they came down to it, are still there. You can see it. But I have never been able to find one up here. But the one down there at Starks, you can still see it.
Yeah, actually, if I thought about it, I mean, you couldn't have remembered the ferry. But your dad remembers.
But I can remember my dad saying that they had tugboats crew up here and pulling log rafts down the river and taking grain barges and stuff up and down the river.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And, you know, it is. It's really amazing because there's no way you could do that now. There's just no way.
Yeah.
It's just so filled with logs and stuff.
Yeah, and must have been more water than two,
well,
I guess.
Or I think they just, it was kept clean.
It was kept
open. It was kept clean, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody just kept their part of the river clean. Mm-hmm. Well, they had to if they was going to run stuff up and down the river.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
But they, you know, they don't do it anymore.
Did your own father or you yourself, as part of just maintaining your farm, did you do maintenance on the river itself?
Do what? Cleaning on the river?
Cleaning on the river?
I still do.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah. It, just like I say, I keep that bank cut and I keep it clean so nothing will slip into that river.
Uh-huh.
So I don't lose property to the river, land to the river.
Right. Now, you said technically that's illegal? Or...
Yeah, they won't let you do that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's against the law to cut anything within, like, I think it's 100 feet of the river now.
Then how do you get away with it?
I just do it. They come and they ask me not to do it. I said, I'm not going to do it. I told them. I come right out and told them. I said, you take me to court. I don't care. I don't care what you do to me. Sue me, whatever you want to do. But I'm not going to lose any of my property to the river. I'm not going to let ground slip into that river. And he just let it go at that. You know, he said, well, actually that is right. If that tree's leaning clear out there, there's no use letting it fall in the river. And just clutter it up more, plug it up more. And that's as far as it ever went. I've never heard any more from him.
Mm-hmm. And who was it that came
out? It was some guy from the River Watchers. One of the people that are the River Watchers. There's a club called the River Watchers.
Roger Twalton, River Keepers.
Keepers, something like that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was somebody from the River Keepers organization that came out here.
Yeah, and sort of said, no, you're not supposed to do that. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. And the guy across the river, Jay Hoffman, he said if any of his is leaning out, he wants them cut. You know, because he lost a lot to the river, like I said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt down here, she lost a big oak tree last year down there, just, it's on the corner. It just more and got closer and closer, and finally it just slid in the river.
Hmm. I also have here in my notes that you said they brought crawfish to the Tualatin.
From the Willamette, yeah.
Yeah?
We brought a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
When, after they opened the dam up and got it cleaned up, and we brought a lot of them.
Oh yeah, you personally were involved in it?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
My brother and I brought. We'd go down there and set traps, and I mean, you go down there, water skin, throw your trap in. You come when you got ready to come home, it'd be full.
Uh huh.
Just throw them a 5 gallon bucket, sit thing here, and throw them in the river.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So these would be crawfish collected on the Willamette. Whereabouts on the Willamette?
At Kelly Park.
At Kelly Park.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're at Multnomah Channel.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Right
in there.
Right there. Uh-huh. So that's even downriver from Portland.
Yeah.
And so you would bring him here and put him in the river, just right here at the farm then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was that to restock the crawfish then?
Just,
was that the idea?
Just to get them going again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's helped or not, but it didn't hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, but they're everywhere all along. You can catch crawfish now anywhere on the river now.
Uh-huh. So did other farmers do that too, or did other people do that? Or was that just your own individual effort?
We was out there water skin a lot.
Yeah.
And so we just bring them back.
Roughly how many do you think you might have transplanted?
Oh, 30, you could probably get 30 at a time, and we was doing it for maybe 10 times a year for 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
So,
30,
300 30, a year?
300, yeah, maybe 900 or 1,000.
Yeah.
Brought out.
Uh-huh.
More.
Yeah. And you say you're not sure whether it made a difference in the crawfish population here?
Who knows?
Well, at least there
but
were.
But it didn't hurt. Yeah. You know, I think it helped.
At least there were 1,000 more of them there.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what you think about things now. You already mentioned that that you think the river's really been cleaned up a lot, and that you support the cleanup efforts on the river.
Yes.
And you think the river keepers are doing a good job. Is that what you said?
Well, I think they could do more, but it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of politics for the big factories and big places, you know, like the sewerage and there's a lot of waste goes in the river that people don't even know about.
Yeah.
You know, that's put in underground that you don't even see. What, I personally think.
What kind of waste do you think?
Oh, like from Hillsborough, there's stuff that goes into the river that's put in underground and piped in under and you don't even see it.
You mean you think from the sewage plants in Hillsborough, or
no,
just from individual?
From the factories.
Oh, from the factory.
That gets in. They put the money in the right place. It just happens. You know, it just happens. Just like every time it rains, like what goes on in Portland? People don't even realize how much goes in the rivers in Portland when it's high water, rain. There's no place for that to go.
Right.
It goes in the river.
Yeah.
You know, and then now they're getting to where they tell them.
Yeah.
They tell them, they say, you know, don't swim in this river from here to this point and on these days.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, of course, the problem in Portland is pretty well understood and documented.
Yeah.
They just don't have a very good system there.
Yeah.
And it overflows, like
yeah.
you say, all the time in the wintertime. When you say industry in Hillsborough, are you talking about the high-tech industry, you mean?
The high-tech and what comes in from Fano Creek. There's a lot comes in from Fano Creek. Our company goes in, they're monitored and everything, but it still gets in.
Mm-hmm.
It gets in. They pay horrendous fines, but it still goes, that don't make any difference. It still goes in the river.
Uh-huh. So, well, I'm in industries, you
yeah.
mean. They've been fined
not
before
only,
for,
oh, yes.
for violating discharge permits
all,
or something?
All it is colored water. It's a water-based ink that they use, and it's colored. They get fined big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if some little thing goes wrong, and they've got that multi-million-dollar filter thing, and it works, but if somebody turns it wrong, something, it goes right into Final Crack.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what kind of things, I mean, do you have any examples of things that have gone wrong?
Oh, at Hillsborough?
No. I mean, ones that you know about firsthand.
No, the only thing feedback I get is when the fines. Everybody knows about the fines
uh-huh.
because it's made public right there on the board. That's the law that they have to put out so everybody can see it. And they're big fines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many thousands of gallons went in, and what color it was and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you used to see Fennel Creek foam there at Robinson's there, where right by Dairy Queen, where it crosses the Fennel Creek, just this side of Washington Square.
Uh-huh.
There used to be white foam in that river as high as this house, big foams in the morning when there was no wind. You see, you don't see any of that anymore. That's all been taken care of.
Uh-huh.
It's just white foam, but who knows where it came from. Some somewhere's in Beaverton.
Some industrial.
Yeah. You don't see that. That's all been cleaned up. Mm-hmm.
But you think some pollution still goes on from these sources, though?
Well, sure. I could be willing to bet you could take water any time out of Fennel Creek and it wouldn't pass anything.
Yeah.
To drink, or to use.
Yeah.
You know. So, I can remember the day where you could drink out of it.
Really?
Oh yeah. Hmm. I mean, there was nothing in Beaverton. I can remember with Progress. There was one light. That's it. One light and one gas station. That's it.
Uh-huh.
And Pete Olson lived there. That was it. He still owned all, well, I don't know if he still does, but he owned all that four corners there, or three corners. It was him and Robinson's and Beerley's, and that's between here and Beaverton, that was it.
Really?
Yeah, there was three farmers.
Mm-hmm. And what was?
And I can remember that, yeah.
And then what, in terms of, maybe just in terms of some of the surrounding communities, might be interesting to hear your description of them as you first remember them. You know, like Beaverton, for instance, what was it like when you first remembered it?
It was just the railroad tracks, that was it. It was just one little main street there and the railroad tracks. You know, well, the high school and all that, a lot of houses, but just the four main stores there. There was a drugstore, Dean's drugstore, and the movie theater, and car Chevrolet was there. That was the only car dealer. And Canyon Road wasn't even in yet. It was Birth of Beaverton. Everything went to Portland, Birth of Beaverton. There was no Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Did your family make the trip into Portland very often?
Grandfather did. My grandfather went to Portland a lot.
Uh-huh.
And, well, Dad went every day with the milk truck. Every day.
Oh, yeah.
He had to go every day.
Oh, and that was to the Raven...
to the Raven Dairy, yeah.
Raven Dairy, and where was that?
That was down on about 3rd Street on this side of the river.
Oh, yeah.
And I can remember the things coming up out of the cement sidewalk and opening up the metal things. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, but those great...
They'd put the cans on, and then it would disappear, and those things would close automatically. Yeah, yeah, I can remember those.
Yeah, so you used to make the trip to Portland pretty often then yourself.
But they used to go with horses. You know, every other day. But I don't remember any of that.
Uh-huh.
And then they got, I can remember the truck, going on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Hillsboro, too, I imagine, was a fairly small town back in those
and
days.
And I don't remember much about Hillsboro, because we always went to Beaverton, a little bit closer.
Uh-huh. Beaverton or on into Portland.
Or the most of the time, if they needed anything, they went down here at the store here at Shoals.
Mm-hmm.
It was there.
Mm-hmm.
They had a post office and everything there. In fact, I've got some letters that came through the post office at Shoals. You know, there is no post office now there.
Mm-hmm. So the Raven Creamery in Portland, or Raven Dairy. It was on 3rd Street, you say?
It was on 3rd or 4th, right there somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. Seems like an odd place for a dairy now, of course, because...
Well, it wasn't a dairy, it was just a process. They processed milk there.
Right, I see.
They just put it in the bottles and distributed it. It wasn't cows. There were no cows there.
Right. I didn't mean dairy, but no. But it was a bottle or a processing plant.
Yeah,
huh?
That's what it was.
Would they... pasteurize it there then too?
I'm sure they did, yeah.
And separate it, or did you do that out here?
I don't remember. I was pretty small then.
Uh-huh.
All I can remember is getting those ice cream slices. They had good ice cream slices on a stick. Yeah.
I guess Fred Meyer's original store must have been right near there too then, because I think he was downtown in the beginning.
Was it down? I don't remember that at all.
Okay. Well, it's quite a change between those days and nowadays.
Yeah, it is. It's scary what's happening. And all the crime's getting so bad, you know, and just never lock anything, never lock the house, never. You don't dare go away now without locking everything up.
Here, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We've never had trouble here because we're off the road and because of the dogs. But my sister lives right up there in the White House, and she's been broke into 3 times. The little greenhouse, you know, has been broke into. That house has been broke into. All the little houses are on the road. None of the farms, they don't bother them much.
I see.
Because they're taking a risk getting down here off the road, getting caught. You know, they can't get away from you. You
right.
block the road, you got them. You know, as up there, they park on the road and go in the house, and then they run out and take off.
How do you view some of the other changes that are taking place out here? I mean,
well, I don't like any of it. I don't like the people. I don't like intel. I don't like any of it. You know, just I don't like intel because it's tax free. They don't pay taxes. And I have to, you know, who pays them? I do. I have to pay what they don't pay for that. You know, even though they're bringing in a lot of revenue and everything, why should they be exempt from taxes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they make more profit than anybody in Oregon now. They made more. They're it's unreal what they're making. Well, outside of Nike, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's just. It's really bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's. I used to live out here in Aloha. Now I live in Portland, but it's shocking to me.
Did you live in Aloha how long? A long time ago, or?
I moved into Portland in 1974.
You don't remember the dairy there where the high school is?
No.
Yeah.
There was a dairy.
Oh yeah, that was all. That was one big dairy right where the high school is in that corner. Oh, I can't remember those. What his name was, I can't remember now.
But
we used to get milk from him once in a while. We'd get low. Farmers, your quota would be down a little bit. You had a quota you had to keep, and get down a little bit, and they were up a little bit. So we'd go get milk from them. And
I see.
See, they switched back and forth.
You mean a quota that you had to meet with?
Yeah.
With Raven, you mean, or?
Yeah.
So they were expecting a certain number of cans per. Per day or something,
yeah.
And
so,
what do you remember? Any either local or regional or even national government regulations that your dad had to contend with?
We had a lot of problems with the grain subsidy.
Oh yeah.
They told us, there for a while, they told us how much grain we could grow.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you will not grow more than X amount of grain. Well, Dad says, I have to grow X amount to feed my cattle, and I'm going to grow it. Well, he did, and he got fined. I can remember coming here and putting locks on the seals on the grain bins. You know, if we took any out of there, we would be fined, you know, and he had to go through a lot of red tape to get that straightened out.
Huh.
But we never sold any grain. We used it all on the farm, and we didn't want any subsidy. You know, this is when they say, we'll pay you not to raise grain. He said, I don't want in on it. I don't want nothing to do with it. And I can remember we had a big problem with that for a while there, about 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And they finally got it all straightened out. And they let him use it.
Uh-huh.
But it was a lot of red tape.
And in the meantime, you had to buy grain, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You had to buy it. Fine more than what the grain cost, so, you know, you had to buy it. And then we had a problem with Bonneville when they came through. They wanted to put the line, their post, right out in the middle of field. And we argued. If you move it 100 feet over this way, it'd be on the hillside, which we don't farm, which they finally agreed to do it. We had to pay to put it up, I think, 12 more feet higher to carry it so it wouldn't be down out in the middle of it.
I see.
We paid for that, to have that done.
Because you
didn't want out in the middle of the field.
You didn't want in the middle of your field, yeah, sure.
And that was a good thing. I'm glad they did that, because it's saved a lot of trouble, hassle out there in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And that's about the only problems I can know with government.
Right.
Uh-huh. We had a little bit of problem with the water and the water rights, but they finally got that settled, because they had the water rights, and I've still got the papers on all that, and you know.
What kind of problem was it? People were saying
they didn't want to give us water.
Uh huh. Who was they?
This was just Tolan Valley Irrigation.
Okay, you mean?
Just hear about that. A while back, when it was 6 years ago, when it was really hot that summer. There was no water. I mean, this one they had Hague Lake too, and there was no water. They said, "Well, you're going to have to cut back." And we said, "No, we don't have to cut back, because we had water rights before everybody but four people on this river, you know." And we went along and we bought water from Hague Lake, and everything was all legal, and finally they just sort of give in. And, but we cut back. We didn't overuse, but. Mm-hmm.
Used what you needed.
Huh? We used what we needed. We didn't. Our crops didn't have to go without.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, what do you think about some of the regulation that comes to bear today, besides the regulations on the river, which we've already talked about a little bit? But I'm thinking, in terms of things like the urban growth boundary, for instance.
Oh, I just get irate about that.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
It's just irate. Washington County is just, they won't let you do anything. You know, they will not let us do anything. We've got a house right up here. We want to take off the tax lot. We want to take off the tax lot. It's a house, just the house. You know, they won't let us. They said, you can't do that. They don't have to give you any excuse. They said, you just can't do it. Well, why can't you do it? You can't do it. That's all they'll say. So we had a meeting to go get it changed. And then just 2 days before the meeting, they called up and they said, well, we canceled the meeting. We decided not to have it. So, and that's where we stand now. But then we read in the paper later on that they were completely out of line to do that. You know, and a lot of people fought it and everything, but, you know, I can't see putting money into it, you know. They won't let me build I have to have a permit to build a barn out here for put hay in. I have to have a permit, pay them, permit. Why should I have to pay them a permit to put a building on my own place, you know? To put hay in, no electricity, no water, nothing in it, no, nothing, just to put hay in it, store hay. Nope, you have to have a permit. As long as they get their money, then it's fine, you know? We put a line across the road up here, turnaround, so we wouldn't have to back out on the road up here. We had to get a permit to put four tile in there. And it was like $12 or something. We asked them, well, where does that money go? They said, oh, that goes in a coffee fund. What? Yeah, that's what they said. In their coffee fund. They said, as long as they got their money, then you go ahead and do it. You know, and I think it's just, you don't own anything anymore. We don't own our property. You might think you own your property, but you don't. Because when I pass on, my kids have to pay inheritance tax, they have to pay probate, they have to pay lawyers, they have to pay estate tax. You know, you don't own anything. You might think you own it,
uh-huh.
you know, but you don't. Your kids buy it back from the government every time.
Right.
But the laws, I think they're getting a little bit better where you can pass it on. You know, but. Those laws change so much, you have to be a lawyer to keep up with them, you know.
But at the same time, you say that you see some real benefits for with some of the laws, some regulations. Oh,
no doubt there is.
About the river.
The building codes and stuff like that are just, I think, you know, you got to have those.
Mm-hmm.
Building permits, yes, because there has to be some code, because like what happened down here at Rainbow Lane down here, some of those places are really bad, you know.
Yeah.
They were just put up and... But
well, but that's part of why they you needed a permit for your barn, right? Was just
well,
because of the permit system.
It was nothing to be lived in, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I could put something up, something that wasn't would fall in on somebody, I suppose, really. I mean, you know, could be. But that you got to have laws and you got to have permits, but I think they're getting a little bit carried away.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I really don't agree with is this wetland thing that's going on. They're buying wetland. You know, who buys the wetland? We buy the wetland. The government buys it. Who buys it? We buy it. And when the government gets ready to build on that, he will build on that, and he'll take the money from it. Well, see, there's been two places in Oregon, and they've built on wetland already. And who bought that, though? The people did. Because, well, the government bought it, but who supports the people? The government, it's the people. So you might as well say we bought it. And I don't agree with that at all. Although you have to preserve something for the wildlife and stuff, but I think they're getting a little bit carried away when mm-hmm. when they're taking land that's good to farm. You know, if they take land that you can't farm is different, but land that you can farm and put it into wetland is not right. Mm-hmm. They got some down here on Beef Bend Road that they're getting ready to buy right now. Down there, you know where the tennis court is on Beef Bend Road, and then you take Elsner Road.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Down there, and there's like 100 and some acres there. And they've got the most beautiful alfalfa on that you ever want to see. And it's going into wetland. Yeah. So, but the laws are really getting bad and strict. But
how do you feel about the encroaching development just down the road here, piece? There's several big.
I don't like it because it's taking good farmland, but uh-huh. there's not much you can do about it. It's going to happen. You know, it's dry land. It's dry farmland. It grows grain and it'll grow alfalfa, but it would never grow like potatoes or anything like that because it doesn't have water. Mm-hmm. But it is good farmable land for grain. Mm-hmm. Just like what's happening on the Sunset, that's all, we're losing all that, you know. But I don't think they'll ever take this place for, and I don't think they'll ever take it even my children's lifetime. Maybe later on they will.
Yeah.
Because they've got to have so much to live on. Mm-hmm. And this will be, water will be from the river to farm it.
Mm-hmm. Of course, if this land were developed, you might make some real money on it.
Well, no, I won't.
Yeah.
Because I have to pay 5 years back taxes when I sell it. And you imagine the difference between what I get for farm deferral. This guy right here, he's got 17 acres, and he pays more on taxes than I do on 250. Because he's out of farm deferral. See? We're just right at the edge of my property. It's right there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's how close it is. It's right there. And if I had to pay back taxes on 250 acres, that, you know, it would, all that I'd gain, I lose.
Yeah.
So actually, when they want it, they'll take it away from me. They'll change the farm zone, and they'll just take it. I mean, I won't make a thing.
Yeah, so the piece of property that's adjacent is no longer zoned for farming then?
Nope. He could build whatever he wants on it.
Uh-huh.
Right next to my property. Well, it's like 5 acre lots.
Uh-huh.
But see, now mine's 46 acres. Mm-hmm. I can't break this any smaller than 46 acres. That's the law. Mm-hmm. That's why they won't let me take that house off up there. That little house. You know, because I'd have to sell 46 acres with it. Well, I'm not about to sell 46 acres. That's farmland. I don't want to, you know.
I see.
But what's wrong with taking that'll never be farmed and taking it off? So I could sell it. See, that's the whole thing. They don't want me to sell it. Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah.
It'll never be farmed. It's half an acre. It's got a house. It's got a well, deep well on. It's got a septic tank. Everything's legal and everything. But they won't let me take it off the farm lot. Take it off this lot, see? Tax lot. Nope, can't do that. Because they don't want me to sell it. But still, they let these people over here on Burkhalter put those $200,000 homes on 2 acres with peach trees out in front. They're farming. Then they got away with it. They got away with it. There's 4 or 5 horse houses there. Do you know where they're at?
No, I don't. But
do you know where Oak Knoll Vineyard is?
Vaguely, but yeah.
It's just right in there.
Uh-huh.
And this farmer, and he was using his head, and he put in 5 acre lots just like this right on his farm. He sold about 10 of them there, and he put the peach trees in and everything, and they say they're farmers. Yeah.
And it worked.
They all worked. Well, they had to. They got $300,000 house there. They're not going to make that on 2 acres of peaches. You know, it don't happen.
Yeah.
You know. But he knew somebody in Hillsborough, and the money gets in the right place, it happens. And I'm still a firm believer of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you think that that's the way things work without knowing anything specific about the transaction.
I'm sure if I put the money in the right place, I could take that off there. I could have that taken off, yeah.
Uh-huh.
For the right amount. It would cost you a lot.
Now, what would be expensive? You mean to?
To get that taken off this tax lot.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But if I knew the right person, you're not supposed to put landfills in here. They were going to take our property, you know, when I'm here a while back, where are they going to put the landfill when they close Portland, and they end up putting it up at Boardman or somewhere up there.
Right.
They were going to put it on our property. It was one of the sites, right here. And up at Buxton and, oh.
Yeah, I remember the one up at.
Yeah, and they spent all half of their money. They had saved all their life fighting that. And they came here and they dug test holes all over. And boy, everybody in the neighborhood, I don't know, everybody was up in arms about it, you know.
Were you fighting that yourself?
Oh, yes. We spent a lot of money fighting that.
Yeah? What did you do?
Well, we got everybody all together and just, you know, said, these people up in the hill, they don't want to sit up there and look into a dump. They said, well, we built edges around so you can't see it. Well, they couldn't build them high enough to keep those people or these people on this hill from seeing it. And then they hit water everywhere. I mean, you couldn't even go down 12 feet right here without hitting water. Because if you get lower in the river, you're going to hit water. It just seeps. It just
right.
comes in. You take a backhoe out here and dig 12 feet, you're going to hit water.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they didn't go anywhere around. Whereas around Hillsborough, water is really shallow. Everybody irrigates in Hillsborough, putting them with shallow wells, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved on.
Would they have condemned your farm then and paid you off?
If they would have decided, I'm sure they would have. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would have really been a loss, you know, because you wouldn't have got near what it's worth now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll hang on to this just as long as I can hang on to it and keep it here and just keep people away, you know, because
yeah.
I like it and I never have any plans of moving and I hope my kids don't either, so.
Yeah. Okay, Harlan. Well, I think I'm just about running out of questions here today. Is there anything you can think of that you'd like to add or any stories that you should have told me?
Well, no, it's just that I've seen a lot happen, a lot of changes, from the horses to the fast cars,
uh-huh.
you know. And everything's moving at such a fast pace now, people don't even realize. We got squirrels, I have pheasants here, I have hummingbirds, I have all kinds of wildlife here. I have coyotes, I have deer. We had a deer right here on the lawn the other day. And people don't see that. People just don't see that anymore. They're moving too fast. People are just screaming by here. 5 o'clock at night, you can't get out on the road here. Either way, you wait sometimes for 5 minutes to get out on the road. Even now, there'll be. My sister was up here the other day. She lives up here. She counted 150 cars in 10 minutes went by on the road at 4.
Wow.
It gets worse at 5 and 6, you know. The world's just moving too fast. They got to slow down. That's about it. You know.
Okay, well, maybe as another type of final question, was there anything that we did talk about today that do you have anything to add to?
No, I think it pretty well covered it.
Okay. Well, thanks. I mean, I know we probably could have spent even longer talking about life here on the farm and all the rest of it, but I think we did cover some ground here, and so thank you very much for the interview.
Okay, thank you.